Welcome to The Contemplative Life. Three pastors, friends, and spiritual companions help us explore spirituality through a contemplative lens.
I'm Christina Roberts.
I'm Chris Roberts.
I'm Christina Kaiser. We're glad you joined us.
Hello, it's great to be with you.
Today, we're taking some time to talk about emotional labor, which involves the ways in which we manage our emotions as we interact with others around us. For example, recently, I was asked if I'd be willing to take on this volunteer task of baking maybe two, maybe three loaves of bread, maybe once a month, maybe twice a month, maybe even sometimes three times a month. And as it occurred, my first thought was like, oh, that's a big ask. I'm not sure if I actually have the capacity for this, all these maybes. And so when that happens, whether we're aware of it or not, there are these strategies and techniques that we all tend to employ to help us with our emotional management, with the emotional labor going on inside of us. So for instance, there's the surface acting aspect of it, where we modify our outward expression as best we can. So in this instance, I'm trying not to show my question marks on my face. Instead, I'm asking detailed questions and I'm saying like, oh, let me talk that over with my family and see what we all think. And so there's that surface part, what can be seen on the outside. But then there's the internal aspect, what they call deep acting. And that word deep can make it sound like it's going to be a really positive thing. Oh, that's so deep, right? But it's paired with the word acting in this case. So basically, it's when we try to make our insides match our outsides. So if we want to appear happy to the world, we try to psych ourselves up on the inside and make ourselves feel happy on the inside. Or maybe we imagine ourselves winning the games. We imagine this capability that we have inside of ourselves. And I suppose I had a little bit of this going on. I did imagine myself successfully baking all of the bread on time in order to imagine myself being able to give this affirmative response. But then there's this third aspect to managing our emotions as we interact with others, which we call emotional intelligence. And this is really important, right? It's our ability to understand our emotions and to handle our emotions, and not just ours, but can we understand the emotions and handle the emotions of others as well? And so in my case, this looked like being able to name, okay, I don't feel incredibly great about this. There's a little bit of anxiety under the surface. I don't actually know if I can say yes to this. I think I would prefer working on a team if I was going to do something like this, collaborating, sharing the responsibility. And that's the emotional intelligence for me in this moment. So that's an example between me and my community, but certainly we can experience this in the workplace, working in our jobs, in our families, in other relational contexts, particularly at home. Do we feel like we're giving to others at the expense of our own well-being? These kinds of things. So as we start to explore this topic, I can't wait to hear from you guys. What's arising for you?
Thank you for such a real life example. Sometimes I think it's helpful to take these concepts and to boil it down to a specific example. So thank you for sharing that, Christina. When I think about the idea of emotional labor, what comes to mind for me is the invisible stuff that one doesn't see that you're describing, but that's happening in the background. And I think that can be such a wide variety. And so in my life, that could be maybe there's something I'm really excited. There's a creative project. And so my mind experiencing some emotional labor where it's not necessarily my work hour, but that's carrying into other parts of my life where I'm stewing on these ideas or processing or thinking. And so having to learn to stop my brain and emotions around that so that I can be present to the basketball game or the luncheon or whatever it is that I'm maybe being a part of. I think also sometimes recognizing, and I think I first came across this when I was in a conversation about the division of labor. So whether you have a roommate or even if you live alone, there's all the tasks that one has to do, but then the emotional brain power that it takes to do that, right? And sometimes it could be a thing of you click, you pay your phone bill, it comes once a month. But maybe a couple of months ago, you thought, you know what, I wonder if I'm getting the best deal. And my neighbor had said that they were getting better cell phone coverage with this. But we just like delay that researching and trying to switch over the phone plan. But then when that bill comes up, it's, oh, I have some mental real estate that's a little bit occupied with this underlying thing of, should I be having a different phone plan? And it just buzzes in the background. And I think what can happen is sometimes we have all these emotional labor things that's like taking away from our bandwidth, it's ebbing away. And it's not one huge thing necessarily, but it's just these little things that tend to ebb away. And so when it comes to Friday night and it's, oh, I've got a free night, let's go out with friends, I have zero emotional bandwidth left to even decide where to go for dinner, what to do. And so maybe we end up doing nothing because it just takes so much effort because there's like these little buzzings in the background that we don't even notice that are stripping away. And so for me, just recognizing that invisible nature of things that happen and really beginning to take back some of that mental real estate seems really important to me in this conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a helpful analogy and metaphor. And I think we probably talked about it before, but I'm sitting here looking at both of you on my computer screen, but right next to that window is another window that has 8 tabs. And I have all these different tabs with different projects, and those projects require like mental thought, mental energy. And there's something to being able to shut the tabs to deal with them. So you have more space for what's next, what's coming. And I really appreciated the breaking down of emotional labor with the surface acting, deep acting, and emotional intelligence. And I think for me, like knowing what spaces I go into, where am I at with how I'm feeling? Where am I at with this labor that I'm doing? And so I can go into certain places and have zero emotional labor because just I don't have any emotions at all. I'm just performing a various task and it's okay. But if there's some tension in a relationship and I go in, I know that I'm carrying emotional labor. And so this has been this conversation right now is almost like making a map for myself for the future. Where am I going? And how am I dealing with the different emotions that I have around going into these different spheres of my life? So I really appreciate just the breaking down, and it's so helpful. Thank you.
It's interesting as you're talking, it's making me think about, oh yeah, what are the various possible responses or the various possible costs? And so one little aspect that we're touching on is this possibility of going numb, right? I'm just going. I don't have emotions. And I'm pretty good at that. I can do that if need be. Another possibility in my world is to blow up for no good reason, or like seemingly no good reason, right? Because it's just been building. And so like I can feel this sometimes. There's this little window in the day between 3:30 and 5:30. Where it's pick up all the kids, do all the homework, make the dinner, get everything done. And then there's usually evening activities to be dealt with. But sometimes I can feel like there's too much homework and there's too much dinner. And then Dominic shows up to dinner 10 minutes late. And we work from home. And so he's not far. It's not like I don't know what's going on. But he'll come in and I'll just be angry. I'll be inordinately angry about it. And the reality is all this has been building up where I feel like I need help. And there's no help to be had because he does have to do the work that he's doing. That's the reality. And so I've just had to hold on to it. And then I go, blah. And then other days it's, oh, hi, good to see you. How is work? It's very different. But he doesn't know who he's walking into, right? Is he walking into overloaded Christina or glad to see you, Christina? And it depends. So this emotional labor can have a cost to it.
Yeah, and I appreciate you acknowledging some different ways that it shows up that we are overtaxed emotionally. And again, it's invisible, right? Unless there's the outburst. Or I was recently talking to someone that was really struggling with sleep. And really great things happening at work. Like it wasn't even a bad situation, but like really good things happening at work and finding that it was really difficult at night and like waking up at 2 a.m, not wanting to be thinking about whatever. And so talking through some different techniques that could help too with insomnia or things like that, and recognizing, okay, what's getting the invisible thing going on emotionally with what's happening there that's underlying, and even being able to name that. So Christina, you earlier mentioning like with the bread analogy, there was some anxiety. And I think sometimes recognizing in this situation, this is what I'm feeling, and letting that letting it pass through you. I was listening to someone describe emotions like those waves that we surf, right? And it crests and we have the height of the emotion. And then we can ride that wave down into the shore and then it disappears. And so there's something about acknowledging and letting that. Again, if we're not even aware of that, then again, it's this buzz, 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 buzz. And then it does show up in maybe the anger outbursts or short tempers or lack of sleep or physical ailments, et cetera. And so being able to pay attention to that and acknowledge it seems really important.
Yeah. And I think knowing how to interact with others that are, I think we may have talked about emotional dysregulation before, right? Those that are emotionally dysregulated. And it's important to let people that are emotionally dysregulated. Usually I'm one who wants to just move on. You can have your outburst, whatever, but let's move on. And sometimes other people aren't ready to move on. And that's where it can be helpful to have, I'll use the analogy of sometimes I am a sub bus driver and there are other bus drivers that get on the radio and they just talk all the time about things that are bugging them about traffic and learning to mute those voices because it's distracting for the job that you are doing. And so I think, again, navigating what is the landscape that you are in. Do you need to be present to the person that is emotionally dysregulated at that moment? And my son was dysregulated last night. Christina said, we're celebrating quarter birthdays. And one of our other children said, that's not a thing. And he just became emotionally dysregulated. And he was upset that we couldn't implement his idea. And so you can try to ignore those things and he'll get over it. But sometimes you just got to know, okay, let's talk about it. Let's air it out. Let's see how can we get a win-win or things like that. So I think also just this idea of making a map for yourself just seems really important. Like where can you hit the mute button? And then where do you actually need to be attentive to bring attunement to the spaces that you're in?
There is this question, I think, for me around like, how can I lessen this effect of emotional labor? Because it's always there. There's going to be the lists running in the back of the head. Christina, like you were talking about, right? I want to do this and I want to do that and I want to do that. And really even like the dinner that I described is I want to have a nice dinner. There's too much competing against the want. So there is this question of how do we lessen the effects? And dysregulated emotion is a great conversation. I've got one child who's really good at coming alongside and like hugging or a little bit of that physical touch. And it works in her case. Like she's just so compassionate. But yeah, we have children too that I wanted to do something else. I didn't want to take a bath. And so this whole bath is going to be this whole thing. And how do we come alongside of somebody when they're pressing through something that they don't really want to do? Because wouldn't it be nice if we never had to do something we don't want to do? But we're in the midst of it sometimes. So on our last podcast, we talked a little bit about pauses. And sometimes pauses are just the ticket. Okay, I am so stressed. And that can help me prioritize. Okay, this is what matters right now. This I can put off until later. Or there's other opportunities like, okay, I've taken this pause. I am now brave enough to ask the questions that I need to ask around the bread or whatever, just something that helps me lessen the effect of this building tension inside of me.
And I think one of the aspects of kind of spiritual health, emotional health is, again, that it's invisible and how do we make the invisible visible? And for example, when we have a labor intensive, let's just say we're remodeling something or we're cleaning out the garage over the weekend, it's a labor intensive situation, right? And so maybe you're feeling more fatigued or you need to hydrate more or you're going to order pizza out because you're busy doing the thing that you're doing. And I think we can recognize, wow, my body is physically tired. I see that. I need to go to bed early or I need to take an extra long hot shower or whatever to wind down. I think sometimes, again, with this invisible stuff going on, we don't even recognize sometimes the emotional tax that's happening. And so one thing that I have found really helpful with myself and with others is just to have opportunities of the brain dump of what are all the things swirling on in there and sometimes just getting it all out and either on a piece of paper or with another person to talk through that. And somehow when we're doing that and it's outside of the real estate in our brain and we're putting it onto another platform, it just lessens even in that. And then from there, recognizing, wow, like it seems huge when it's living inside my brain, but really it's these things and it's okay, I can do it. Just again, tackling the garage, it can seem like this whole big thing, but then when you break it up and we're delegating this out or whatnot, and I think that's really helpful with what we're describing as well of, and I think recognizing what's the underlying thing. Christina, your dinner analogy, I appreciate that, where it's not necessarily that you're late or whatever, but just the idea of, I value our family getting together. And there's so many wonderful things that all of us are doing that are extracurricular that takes away from this space. And so being able to name that this is my value, this is important to me, that's why I care about the dinners, that feels like you're coming from a different space towards finding resolution and finding some win-wins versus when we're just like, oh, it's a spinning, it's a different type of a thing versus that grounding. And we all have it. And so I think, again, whether it's getting things out so that we can see clearer or getting in touch with maybe what's behind that. And with the analogy of the quarter birthdays, that's, again, and it's interesting, right? Because we've shared on the podcast, as a family, we sit down each quarter and we talk about, what do we want to do this quarter? We think in terms of that. Just this year, I started playing around with quarter budgets and figuring budgets in a different way. So why not? Why not celebrate a quarter of life? That seems like a fun celebration. And so framing it that way and giving, my child is learning about traditions in school, different cultures and their traditions. And if we can make our own traditions, and there's, everybody bought in after we had the conversation around that, but sifting through some of that stuff to get to what's underneath. Sometimes I think our values are wanting some airtime and getting pushed down. And I think sometimes this can be an opportunity for those to come out in some new ways.
I like that. And it reminds me of other podcasts we've done on celebration, right? That sometimes we think, oh, I'm not very good at celebration or something like this. I only know how to celebrate big things. But in fact, to celebrate the quarter birthday is an opportunity for this mini celebration. And it does alleviate some of the stress in life. And there is a lot of, to go back to our episode on community care, what does it look like to share the emotional load a little bit? Like, how can we do this together? Who is there? Who is present? Who can I talk to? Who can I tell? So that it's not all just sitting inside of me. So the brain dump is great. Talking it out is great. Like, who are our partners? There are these various possibilities.
And I think stability is a huge value for me. And I think, how do these intersect with being stable, being solid? And so that's why I think having relationships with people that know how to mine out the invisible and make visible is so important to our relationships. And that's what I really appreciate about the work of spiritual direction, right? People that are helping the invisible be made visible by our sharing, by awakening to our story. And I think it does work long-term towards that notion of stability, becoming solid in your life, more substantial. Is the way that I think. I love the cartoon that you have people that are like almost ghost-like. And then as they become more aware of like their past life, they awaken to the story, they become more solid in real life. And so I think that's what spiritual direction is. We become more solid, we become more stable as we become awakened to our story and our emotions.
I think you're bringing up a great point. I think I've learned some beautiful things as a result of spiritual direction, even group spiritual direction. There's this experience that I sometimes have in this one group where people will share whatever. And it often does relate to the emotional load, things that people are questioning. Was this what I wanted to do or not want to do? And they have this kind of space to just sit with it. And a lot of times encouragement really comes out of that space. But it's funny, I don't utilize this phrase very much, but it comes up a lot in that particular group where someone will say, my sharing is complete. And there is this question mark that we often have, or we don't feel like things are quite complete. And what does it take for that to feel settled and complete within us? It's a little space for that is really helpful. Thank you so much for having this conversation on emotional load. I hope that it was helpful for everybody and emotional labor. And now is the time in our podcast where we take a moment to talk about what we are into. So tell me, what are you into these days?
I don't think this has ever gotten airtime, but I am into the Trader Joe's English Black Breakfast Tea, which is basic. It is like just a basic, ordinary tea, but I drink it every day. And every time I watch the Jane Austen movies on PBS or different British shows that have cups of tea and people are like so into tea, like years ago, I'm like, oh, I love that tradition of like afternoon tea and things like that. And so started this tea tradition with, again, simple tea, milk. I like the consistency. I'd use 2 bags and I have my calibration and I just love it. And so I have been into this for a long time and I don't think it's ever gotten airtime on the podcast. And if it has, it deserves double because it's a daily practice in the winter months. I don't drink hot tea in the summer months, but for my winter months, it is the Trader Joe's breakfast tea.
I am not into tea, although I have a friend who is British who has awakened me to the various types of great black tea. I am into, I think I've shared, I've recently got a record player. One of the things that is brought up is curiosity in my relationships. So I find myself asking people, if you had to have 5 albums, what would they be? So it just opens up beautiful conversation. And I was with a friend the other day, and one of the things that we discussed is often our music is tied to our memories. The albums that we want to have in our top 5 collection are usually albums where we were listening in a space around where family gathered around one another, or one person said, this was something that was played at the pool all the time when I was a kid. And I just loved the pool. I loved the experience of going to the pool. And I love that music that was played at the pool. And I've been into music that has been tied into my story or experiences that I've had. So that is what I'm into.
Very nice. I am into getting a little more warm glow light going in the house. So it stays wintry for a long time in Wisconsin. And I was late at taking down Christmas lights anyways, but there's always this kind of deflate of, oh no, that's a really great part is this warm glow. And so we've had these strings of lights that we were using for something else. And we said, what if we repurpose them and put them on the fireplace mantle? And so we created it around these kind of like glass vases and things, which is now giving the appearance of like water and twinkle. It's just magic. And I was like, yeah. So that is what I am into these days.
You're not the only one that is late into taking down their holiday decorations. I saw a fleet of trucks and their whole thing is to take down holiday lights. And so I saw them just this morning headed to a location to take down holiday lights. So you are not alone in your lateness.
I do feel like there were a number of people that have come out of the woodwork to say, my tree is still up. So I was not the last this season, but it was heading towards Valentine's Day. And I was like, okay, got to find the time. The deed has been done. And more twinkle lights exist. Thank you, everyone, for being with us. We will look forward to being with you again soon.
If you enjoy listening to the podcast, we invite you to stay connected by signing up for our Foundry Spiritual Center newsletter, where you can learn about even more programs and offerings. You'll find a link to subscribe in the show notes, or visit us anytime at foundrysc.com. Thanks again for being with us. We hope you have a great week.